Philadelphia, Philadelphia, are you ready? City of brotherly love, home of smoking Joe Frazier. Come on. It's about that time, FetLifeStation.com. Philly Fridays, baby, come on.
Harassing. Imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue behind the waters. No welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters. Days are shorter, nights are colder. Feeling like life is over. These snakes strike like a cobra. The world's hot, my son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a plate. Knowledge, if coke was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing. Fashion, designer clothes. Lacing your click up with diamond rolls. Your people's holding dough, no parole, no rubbers. Going raw, imagine law with no undercovers. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time. Watch the blimp read, the world is mine.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
Okay, good afternoon, guys. It's Jenny from the Black Ears to the Streets. We also going to be enjoying our afternoon cup of tea with Miss Broadway, an extension of her morning cup of tea. We have Juju the Don on here.
Hey, y'all.
We are talking about basically spirituality. So one of the girls that we interviewed during the process that were incarcerated, she was saying she found God. Drew, do you remember when she said that in the interview, how she
yes.
found God? And the interesting thing is that we only look for God when we're in trouble, right?
Right.
That's what I mean, you know, people may disagree with me. You know, do you only look for God when you're in trouble?
I wouldn't say that. You know, I grew up in a spiritual household, and I still pray every morning, you know, read my morning scripture and things of that nature. I definitely talk to God more than I pray.
Okay. So, with that being said, we had some, you know, insight from different people. And I was, you know, interviewing different people about this topic this week. And I found that a lot of people do only pray when they're in trouble. It's like when life is good, they forget. But a majority that I've seen or I've heard and came across, I also noticed that there are trying to do the right thing while incarceration. For some reason, people always just say, oh, you know, it's so bad. However, I see so many people that are incarcerated that turned over their life, you know, to God, and also came home and made better decisions, better choices, and lived a better life. So during this path of interviewing them, I have, you know, developed some questions that I want to hear from my young people. So including you, and we are going to, you know, call others. I want their outlook. I want your outlook on why do you think that people only look for God when they're in trouble or incarcerated, right? Why is that?
I feel as though when you're incarcerated, you're surrounded by a lot of people, people that's doing time, like hardcore time, people that's not doing as much time, and people who got time on their hands to educate themselves. Like, that's why a lot of people in jails find God or seek religion, you know. Another thing is people tend to seek out God, you know, when they're in trouble, because why not? Like, we hear all these things like, God got us, no matter what the situation is, God got us, you know. So why not call on him when we're in trouble?
Right. All right. Now, why not call on him when you're not in trouble?
Because it's not convenient for you.
Why? Why you think it's not convenient? How can you say it's not convenient?
That's an opinion. Everything, you know, you in trouble right now. So all you can do is think about, damn, God, like, I need you right now, God. Like, I really need you. Rather than when you were all good and you up and you high and mighty, instead of praising him then, you know.
Right. So what's your thought on people like that?
People like that, I feel like they need to read more into their spirit, their religion. They need to tap in more with their spiritual side, you know. They need to have a different outlook on God and what's going on.
What about people that have different gods, right?
So same with them.
Religion.
Same with them. You need to really look more and find more. And, you know, study up more, pretty much. Because it's not, I see, if you calling on God when you're in trouble, it's not that you don't believe in God.
Right. Okay. All right. How do you think this affects your young people? Because we are going to turn our ear to the street and interview some young people.
I feel like this affects the youth by
what? Like,
it affects them in ways, like as far as actually wanting to become religious or study religion.
Right.
You know, kids are very impressionable. And if you always, even the youth, you know, young adults are very impressionable. So if you make it seem like, oh, you just go to church to sing and you got to do this and, you know, the real Bible. Of course, kids and is going to turn that away. Like, oh, no, that's not for me. That's too much. Like, me going to church isn't cool. So, you know. Rather than me, I feel like I always went to a church where we had a kids' church. You know, we had groups that actually made church fun for us. You know, things of that nature. And it's like, if you don't really expose the youth to that, if you don't expose them to the fun side of things as well, because like I said, they're very impressionable, it's like it's dead.
Right. Okay. All right. So do you think that certain religions, do you think religion itself, like not so non-denominational, Baptist, Christian, Jehovah's Witness, do you think we should have some type of thing in place, probably in schools or community centers, where we give them an educational background about different religions? Do you think that that would help
I wish schools studied up on religions. You know, I wish schools actually took their time to do those kind of things more often.
what do you think they'll get out of that? Because remember, you know, I, like I said last week, I did some interviews. I talked to women in the prison. I talked to youth this week. And and I got so many different mixed answers. Like, I feel like the generation coming in, like, it's hard for you guys to make a decision. And I know with your exposure to being around people who are in the street and you're able to see it from another angle, right? Because like you said, you grew up in a spiritual household. And then from you having to go outside of that, right, and live your own life, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you, like, how do you identify with that? How do you get your friends? You can't, they not always going to see it your way. You know, and you participated, am I right or wrong, in criminal activity before, where that, is that, does that identify with your spirituality? You know, how do you get to a place with people from your generation, right?
Right.
To accept the fact of, yo, let's study different religions. You know what I mean?
Right. Like I said, for me, it's just all how it's presented. That's how I feel. Like, you got people, the youth is very impressionable. And all in all, it's like a, excuse me. It's like how you present things. Like, if you present one way, they might not. It's like selling. You get what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You kids in...
Elaborate a little more, because I don't want to feel what you're saying. I want to get what you're saying.
So, like, prime example, it's taught to go to school. Like, that's in your everyday life all the way until you get to the 12th grade and then you consider college. That's taught. That's what you're supposed to do. Nobody's teaching you and nobody's showing you, like, you're supposed to read the Bible. You're supposed to pray. You're supposed to study up.
Okay.
Unless your parent is doing that.
Right. You're right.
And it's like a, well, right. Dang. It's like a, well, dang, if you supposed to, like, are you supposed to in school, we wouldn't have these certain issues.
Right. So I turned my ear to the street and I got someone named Talia. Welcome to the show, Ears to the Streets. You on the line with Jenny from the Block and Juju the Don. And we want to, first of all, say welcome. Welcome to our show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
How are you? I know this is your first time on with us. We talk about real life, you know, things. And the topic of our show today would be, we were talking to a lot of people that's been incarcerated. And one common thing that I've learned and I've seen is that everybody turns to God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone turns to God. Everybody gets all spiritual when they're incarcerated. But then what happens when you're not incarcerated, right?
Right. When you're not incarcerated and you start to lose faith, because it's easy,
right,
to be swayed.
Like, how do you keep your faith in your generation? First of all, Talia, let me ask you, how old are you, honey?
19.
What are some of the things that you face out here as a 19-year-old? Being exposed to the street, having to leave your household and take care of yourself, having to be independent. How do you face adversities every day? And do you pray? Do you believe in God? How do you only pray when you're in trouble? Like, how is that? How does that affect you? Give me a paragraph. Let me know. Let me see your world.
So some adversities you face being 19 and just recently, like, being introduced to the real world, it's challenging, especially when you're unprepared. Like, just the simple as like credit, or as because you know you're 19, you want to be on your own, you know, everybody wants to be grown. So it's just a lot of stuff that schools and even our parents, which sometimes they don't know any better, they just not prepared for. So that's the adversity. And then once, and then with us not being prepared, it's easy to be swayed by outside people who don't really care or don't really know any better than you do, that you're listening to, whether it's your friends, family. So that's another thing that could be, I don't know, and that could sway how you, your judgment or your everyday life. And what was the other question?
Yeah, have you ever been incarcerated?
No, never been incarcerated.
All right. But you have participated in illegal activity and have faced temptation to do the wrong thing, right?
Yes, I have.
Do you find yourself praying during that time, or you pray when you're trying to get out of trouble so you won't be incarcerated?
I used to only pray when I was in trouble, but I realized that it don't work that way. You can't just, you're not going to get no answers that way, because that's not like a genuine prayer. It's more so in a time of need.
Right. Well, I just want to say thank you for being a part of our show. Let your friends and family know to tune in every Friday from 2 to 3, Ears to the Street. And we want to talk to real live people that face adversities every day with their struggles in their everyday life. And we want to say thank you. Dadon, anything you have to say or any questions you may have for Talia?
Yes, I actually do have a question for you.
What's the question?
What value?
I can't hear you. You're skipping.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, what you say?
I said, what was a valuable or key thing that you took in from only praying when you were in trouble to praying every day, or, you know, praying every other day?
When you pray while you're in trouble, you might, like, I don't know, you might get out of the trouble, but when you incorporate prayer and God in your everyday life, your whole life overall gets better. That makes sense. Once you start living through God.
Right. As a 19-year-old, you know, and so you're 19, I'm 19, what is some advice that you would give to the youth who are like, I don't know about religion, or, you know, I'm not really a religious person. What is some advice that you would tell them?
I would say they should learn about it. They should, even if right now they feel they aren't religious, they should learn about it and should be open to it. And they shouldn't be embarrassed to be religious, because a lot of times, you know, it's not the cool thing to be or the cool thing to do to say a prayer. So that takes effect, especially when it comes to younger people. So that would be my biggest thing. Just educate yourself first before you decide you're not religious or you don't believe in whatever. You should learn about it first before you denounce it.
Thank you so much, and we welcome you back to the show anytime. We have other people that we'd like to interview, and I just want to say thank you, and I'm truly blessed to have you up here. And stay tuned every week from 2 to 3 every Friday. Yeah, thank you again. Have a nice day.
Okay, you too.
Okay, call. We have our Ears to the Streets, and we also have two more guests joining us today. And our topic for today is how people are utilizing religion, how young people, you guys, right, only pray when you're in trouble. Another thing is, why do you guys do that? You know, the Don has said that there's no education in, like, no educational setting that's telling y'all about all these different religions and promoting spirituality, positive spirituality, rather, correct? Am I correct? I don't want to miss.
Absolutely. Like, prime example, I went to St. Louis, and all the kids there, or majority of the kids there, is Catholic. Why? because that's what they're taught. You in a Catholic setting, so now you gotta pray. You gotta do what they do unless you already come in there as a different religion. You know?
Okay, great. All right, so at this time, I would like to introduce one of our people from the street. So I turned my ears to the street, right? And I'm introducing Makai. Makai has been incarcerated. He's also 23, am I correct? 22. And my question to you is, how do you describe adversity, you know, growing up, being a 22-year-old, being a male, having to be incarcerated? And when did you decide, okay, to pray or get involved or find any spirituality? Because it doesn't matter what religion you are, right? How does that work, you know, for you? Like, especially when you were incarcerated, I know you probably, you know, you didn't have notes all the time. You just had time to think and learn it.
Yeah, so for me, I really never, like, floated to a certain religion or anything like that. I just watch and I read and I listen. So I don't really, like, about the praying, I don't really pray, but I do see a lot of kids, like, a lot of younger boys that they might go to jail and then now they're Muslim or now they're Christian and now they pray and pray and then when they come home, it's all out the window. I see that a lot.
So what is your advice towards, hi Makai, it's the guy. What is your advice towards, you know, people who are always in trouble, you know, that might be facing incarceration, who are always in the street, with you being so that you listen, you pray, and not that you pray, but you listen, you watch, and you understand other people's religion?
I feel like I would tell a younger me to really read. That's all it is. You got to pick up a book. You got to really know what you want to do. If you got something you like to do, focus on that. While you're young, you can focus on that. And you're going to make it somewhere. Regardless, don't listen to nobody. Just do what you got to do. Do what you want to do. All that street stuff is still going to be there. It's going to be there for a long time. And you will too if you don't get yourself together.
And what do you got to say to anybody who, like, you know, let me give you kind of an example. Being religious ain't the cool thing to do, like, you know, like the last person, Talia, said. It's not really the cool thing to do. It's not really the church ain't the coolest place to be, or going to the masjid ain't, you know, it ain't the coolest place to be. The streets is where it's at. What would some advice you would give to the young adults and the youth about who are religious that don't take their religion seriously?
I feel like the kids that don't take their religion seriously are the kids that don't really know their religion. A lot of people choose religion to be cool. Something like. So I would tell them, before you, because that's
give me an example
step.
Of what you mean. Give me an example of what you mean by people choose religion to be cool.
Oh, like, so I see people wearing, like, the Muslim garbs and stuff like that, like a kufi cap and stuff like that, and they're not Muslim. But because to them it's like fashion, they feel like people like the way Muslims look, so they dress like Muslims. I know people that do do stuff like that a lot.
Do you think it's people in your generation? Because guess what? In my generation, you're not Muslim and you dressing like a Muslim, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah, it's definitely people in this generation.
So why do you think that? What are they promoting that? Like, why would you want to fake in something that you're not? Is it, do you feel as protection? And when you were incarcerated, were a lot of people Muslim in there that weren't in the street, or
it was a lot protecting? Of people, it was a lot of people Muslim in there that I know from the street that are not Muslim. You understand right. What I'm saying?
So because it's the cool thing to do?
Because in jail, it's Muslims in jail all stick together. That's how it's supposed to be. So I guess for some people it's for protection, but for the kids that don't know, it's just for a look. It's like they feel like it's cool. They will get the prayer rug and everything while they're in jail. When they come home, they might leave it. They might leave the prayer rug in the jail.
Right. And you don't think they uphold their religion once they come home?
No. No. Kids, no. I know some, but kids, nah. Like when 21 and kids, under.
21 and under?
21 and under.
All right. Do you think that we're as older, we're not promoting that? Or, like, is there a way we can stop that? Do you feel like...
Yeah, I feel like it is a way y'all can stop it, but I feel like y'all generation was just more heavy on morals, so it's always going to be a difference. But I think y'all definitely can stop it because social media, it does a lot. It does a lot because it's hard to get your word out. It's hard to just tell young kids, but they go for trends and what's cool, so if they see everybody doing this, everybody listening to them, everybody on this wave, so they're going to join the wave, and then they're going to really lock in. You feel me?
Right. I don't know, I have so much to, like, kind of argue with that about, because I've seen people, you know, not be Muslim and then become Muslim once they start learning about it. I've also seen people that didn't believe in God become Christian, right? Because they started with, they liked somebody. Like, you know, I know a guy, he was atheist. He liked a girl that was Christian. And she started opening his mind up. And then he became a Christian, right? I see girls every day that actually, you know, may like a guy and may want to cover herself up and don't know nothing about the religion, but then end up. All right, so let me introduce you. I also have my ear to the street, and her name is Constance. She's here today, and she's also a participant in this show and on this interview, and I want to hear her view.
I feel the difference with the generation too is because in your generation, more so
Can you come closer and speak up for me, baby?
It was in your generation, it's more so, you know, it back then it was like more family oriented, more likely you would see a mom and a dad in the home or whatever. Nowadays, it's like most kids that the young, like 21 and under, they was probably raised by aunt, uncle, or, you know, younger sibling or something like that. Like, and I feel like the younger generation, they go off based on what they see, what they hear was popping, you know, was being generated on social media, the radio, what they hear, what they see. And back in the day, you know, it's more so you had to go somewhere, you had to be around, you had to show up. You couldn't just, you know, oh, I heard this from such and such. You really had to be there, you had to see, you had to be around. And I feel now, like, when young kids, they go to jail and stuff like that, that's because they're young, they're 19, 18, and they see the old heads in there that's been in there for years or whatever, and they're just trying to, you know, get the flow to jail or whatever. And that's what they're doing. Everybody's taking their shahada and, you know, being Muslim and stuff like that and going to the services and stuff, because that's what they see. That's what is most influenced. The image that they see is most influenced by, you know, what's going on around them. And in the jail setting, it's not too much going on around them. Like, you know, they got, what is it, locked in 23-1 or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to agree. I agree with Constance a lot. You know,
I do disagree in one point, right?
this is the point I disagree in. You say, right, that a lot of the two-parent household, but in my generation, we had a lot of single moms.
Not just saying, like, just
now we did have more respect.
It was more family oriented, like,
right. And we had single dads too, because
even when
I grew up with my single dad.
Even in the two-parent household or a single-parent household, everybody was in at a certain time. You had right. that family time. You feel me? It was like the kids sat down with the parents. You guys collect your day together. It was more family-oriented. Now, it's like kids fend for themselves. And what they're going to be most influenced by is what they see the most, who they be around the most. And, you know, nowadays, it's like parents work 2 and 3 jobs. They're not as family-oriented as it was back in the day. So I feel like the influence is different. It's going to go based off of what they surround themselves around and what they see, you know, more what they see and not, you know, I don't know.
No, explain it. Don't like, say you don't know. Let's elaborate on it.
Like, they're gonna want to do, they're gonna want to do what they see as being, like, they're going to do what they're most influenced by. So if they're hanging out with their friends every day after school, you know, 4 of their friends are Muslim, 2 of them are Christian, and you're the friend who doesn't really, you know, go either way, your Muslim friends outweigh your Christian friends. So you're going to, you know, ask them more questions because it's more of them and less of the Christians, and you don't know anything about either one of them. So now it's like the Muslims outweigh Christians because you're surrounded more so by them than you are the Christians. I just feel like wherever the child may lay, whatever they're surrounded by is what will most influence them, is what I'm saying. Because, you know, back in the day, it was more so family traditions. You go based off what your family do, not what your friends do and everybody else is doing. It's what your family do. So if your family was raised Catholic, you Catholic. You don't break that because it's a family tradition. But now it's like the kids, they have more free roam. They get to be around their friends. I feel like their friends and what they see on social media or on TV is what influences them more than so their family like back in the day. Because I know for my mom, they all, you know, even still to this day, a lot of my older family members, they're Jehovah's Witness. And that's what they was raised on. That's what they were surrounded by. And that's what the family is like, generation after generation. Like my grandma, her mom, you know, my aunts, they're all Jehovah's Witness. But now coming down into my generation, my mom, she changed to Christian and I chose to be Muslim. So it's like now the family is different because to me, I wasn't surrounded. My mom didn't really surround me around my grandma and all of them. I didn't go to the Kingdom Hall and stuff like that, like how she did back in the day when she was a child. I was at school with my friends and stuff like that. And then also with the dating pool, when I started dating guys and stuff, I dated more Muslim guys than I did a Christian guy. So it was more, I leaned more towards, you know, looking into being Muslim, asking questions about being Muslim. But I feel like if I would have probably had a love interest in a guy that was Christian or surrounded myself more so around Christian people, maybe I would, you know, lean towards that religion. I just feel like it's all about the influence and
I think being what an influencer they're surrounded is by. Very, very, very very I think being an influencer now, it's very hard for kids. It's just hard. I don't know. It's like shocking because I'm a little speechless. You know, from a man's point of view, right? Do you think a lot of your peers only turn to religion when they're in trouble?
I don't really see that, but I think I see people doing it, but it's not like, oh, something happens, so I'm gonna pray, you feel me? It's like, and like not disrespectful or anything, but say somebody who's a family member and they're Muslim, now everybody is garbage, now everybody's, you feel me? Everybody's like in proper attire and they're dressing like that for a while now and now they're on top of their stuff. It's like it takes for something to happen for you to start taking stuff serious. But I don't think like if they get in trouble, it's like, you feel me? I can only say that with like jail.
Right.
Going to jail. Now you on top of everything. I could say that, but like not just any type of trouble.
Right. Right. So how was it how old were you the first time you was incarcerated?
Either 14 or 15 years old.
Okay. And at 14 and 15 years old, while you were incarcerated, did they try to help you? Come back into society with a positive outlook of life? And did they get you connected with any programs?
No, it was like I'm not going to lie, they had offered like certain programs. But I didn't do any of them. I had that when they gave me community service and I had to go to the YMCA. That's when I started programming. I didn't want the program when I was going home and they offered it, I didn't do it. But when I got community service and I got there and it was program going on, they didn't make me do it. I think they didn't. I just program.
Okay. All right. And when you went to the program, what did you get from that program? Did you get anything?
It was a program that basically were like, part of it was for school, part of it was for bettering yourself, like, because it was a lot of kids that were in alternative school that was locked up in education. It was a lot of kids, just bad kids from the street, mom probably signed them up anyway. So it was like for school, it was helping you, and it was like whatever you wanted to do career wise, you could go through that. Like they would point you on the right direction. I cannot remember the name of it.
No. And after you completed that program, were you incarcerated again?
Yes, but that wasn't until I was 18 years old.
Okay. And when you were incarcerated at 18, what were some of the adversities you faced while being incarcerated so young? You're a fresh 18, you have to go sit in jail.
It was a lot of lessons in there. Like I could say I learned a lot of lessons. Like, because as much as it seemed like you go to jail, you won't learn anything. It's, you feel me? Like people always say jail isn't gonna help anybody, but jail helped a lot of people. And I could say it helped me. It helped me look at stuff different, but it just took me a little bit longer to really get the hang of stuff, like staying out of trouble. But I was in there and I was seeing people that have had like real situations going on, and I would look at them like, nah, I don't want to be in that situation, so I'm gonna move like this. But then it was other people that be in there and they get in situations and they like brag about their situation. So it's like you got the good to look at, and then you got the people that like hold you down with them.
Right. Okay. Well, it was real good talking to you guys. I had a girl and a boy, right? A young woman and a young man here to share some lights on their experience. LaDon, do you have anything that you would like to ask this young lady or this young man?
Yes. As I was saying, I want to piggyback on some things.
You want to piggyback on? I'm sorry. I want to
piggyback on what Constance said as far as, you know, there was more involvement back in the day. Like, point blank period, whether you was in a single mom household, you know, a single father household, your parent was showing up.
Okay, let me ask y'all something, and y'all all could be real.
Yeah,
I hear...
Right, but I hear you guys. I hear you. But you're the generation that can make a difference. Right? Because now you have kids, right? Do you have Sunday dinners? Right. You could influence your friends to invite them over for Sunday dinners. Do you have Sunday dinners? You have a child, right? Right. So another thing is that both you guys have old school parents, but you buck on your parents, right? So parents get tired. Not always, but parents get tired. Do you think you live the same lifestyle that your mom lived and you grew up in? Why? Because you made a choice.
And it's, I don't know, I guess I feel once I had my own kids, I feel like this was my family. So I feel like it's my opportunity to do things the way that I want it because I'm my mom's child. Ultimately, I have to do what she says. I have to follow, you know, what she wants to do, fall in line and do things the way she wants to do them. But now that I have my own children, I feel like it's my opportunity to be able to do things the way I want to do with my kids. And maybe I don't always want to have Sunday dinners. Or now, you know, I'm a single mom. Their dads don't really help me that much. So maybe I got to work on Sundays or take a shift on Sunday. Now I don't feel like coming home and cooking and stuff. So my family dynamic is not the same as my mom's because she had a strict rule. She told jobs, I'm not working on the weekend because that's my family time.
Because guess what she did? She made a choice. Mm-hmm. So I hear a lot of young people come on the show, and the reality is that y'all make a choice. You feel me? You make a choice to do the right thing. You make a choice.
Also, she had my dad's financial help here and there, too. I don't have no financial help. So I feel like I can't choose to be like, oh, I don't want to work on the weekend because ultimately I need to work on the weekend because I need the money.
Okay.
My mom probably, you know, was able to be able to have that more relaxed or whatever because she could just say my dad, like, you feel me? We're doing this and I need you to send me this money for the kids or I need you to make this happen because the kids are doing this. I can't do that with my kids' dad, so everything has to fall on my lap, so I might have to sacrifice.
Right, and then this is when, back in the day, right, I didn't have Sunday dinner, so my life wasn't all that peachy, you know. However, I had a friend who has Sunday dinner, so I can go over to my friend's house.
Right.
Right? Or you can also team up with your friends and influence each other. Yo, I got to work on Sunday. Why don't you keep the kids this Sunday? I'll keep them next Sunday. You know, you guys do not like to collaborate no more. And like you said, you want to raise your kids your way because that's your opportunity. But with that opportunity, you could have been a different influencer and instill some of the stuff that you have learned, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because what I'm seeing is that we have a lot of problems as a youth in society. And when we have those problems, the first thing we say is, oh, we don't have enough of this or we don't have enough of that. But how can people put stuff in play for the youth to avoid going through hard times or being incarcerated or selling their bodies or going into that kind of sex work or anything if we as a people are not standing forward, right? Because you guys are people. You might be little people to me, but you're the people, right? So I really want to invite everybody back to the show to see if I gave y'all some food of thought, and I want to follow up with y'all. So please, within the next 2 weeks, accept my invitation. Let me know some of the stuff. Talk to your friends and your family members about different things, and let me know what is it that you guys, you know, want to see change, and what are you going to do for that social change? Are you going to be an influencer or are you not? But it was nice having you on. I really appreciate it. Yep. We have a positive message from Carla Broadway that I would like to present to all my listeners.
Dead of winter, and I just saw yesterday in church of my daughter swimming, and she's a swim coach now, but she swam for many, many years competitively in different programs, and during a summer swim, I think when she was in 8th grade, maybe 13, they had a swim at black students live in this designated period of time. The goal was 100. And so, you know, competitive swimmers know you probably swim that much, but you take breaks like for practice. So this was going to be that constant 100 laps is what the goal was without stopping. And somewhere around laboring, and she started struggling, and we were encouraging her, her coach, me, friends, her grandma, like, stop, like, okay, it's okay, you still get good, and she would not stop. And then she started, she slipped on her back, and she was just kicking, and she asked for her inhaler, so I met her at the end of the pool, she didn't stop, she got her inhaler, and she took a couple of puffs, and she kept on going. And she took these puffs while she was swimming. And I never got a picture of her with the inhaler and swimming. Her coach started screaming, somebody get this picture. But we didn't get it. But I got a picture of her when she was finished. And she came out of that pool like a warrior. She hit her goal. She swam the 100 laps. But I just feel like we're in a season where I just want to keep encouraging everyone. I know that COVID was hard on a lot of us, and it really weighed us down, physically, mentally, emotionally. We got bumped and bruised, relationships were damaged, and we're really just coming out of that. What I'm telling you is keep moving. Don't give up. In Philippians 3, it talks about pressing towards the mark, towards your goal. Don't give in. Even though it's tough, get that rejuvenation just like she got as far as her asthma medicine, and keep on pressing. We can do this, friends. I hope you enjoyed your Monday morning cup of love. Have a blessed day.
Okay. Thank you so much. That was a positive message from Carla Broadway, and she always has her morning cup of love, and she will be on the show Friday afternoons with her afternoon positive affirmation. So I want to say thank you to all our listeners for welcoming Carla Broadway as of last week when she did her first positive affirmation with us and shared her morning cup of coffee with us in the afternoon, which I thought was kind of great. And her message today on keep swimming, awesome. She's absolutely right. The topic that we talked about today, before I even knew that that was the affirmation that I was going to give you guys, and we heard it from Ms. Broadway's mouth to our ears, we were just talking about in the group how we have to keep. We can't only pray when we're in trouble, right? So when we're in trouble, we can't only pray. So I think that that was a good fit for anybody's spirituality, right? It doesn't matter what religion you are. I think that was a great message. So thank you so much. And we will welcome Carla back next week. She will be on with us every week, Friday from 2 to 3. Now, another message that we have, actually an advertisement for Polino's Home Health Care. They're located on 101 East Allegheny Avenue. They are hiring. They start at $15 an hour. You can take care of your family member, take care of your loved one, take care of your neighbor. They have weekly pays and great benefits, 401k. And they are accepting applications. So please feel free to let them know if you're available to stop by their office at Polino's Home Healthcare. This is located on 101 East Allegheny Avenue, right between Allegheny and Front. Their phone number is 215-425-5535. That's 215-425-5535. Now that we are coming to the last 10 minutes of our show, I would like to go over some information with our listeners. If you want to advertise your business or give positive affirmation, please feel free to hit me up at jthomas2350@gmail.com or hit up our radio station. Shout outs to our radio station, right? Shout outs to Suave for making this happen, and we will continue to be on the air every week with some positive information from directly from the people. That's what Ears to the Streets is about. We go to the streets and we find different people to interview on different topics. We're here to shed light on topics that people don't want to talk about. And now we have been blessed to be joined with Positive Affirmation from Carla Broadway. And this will take place every Friday from 2 to 3. You hear first, hearing it live. If anybody have any questions and they need some help getting any resources in any of the tri-state areas, please make sure you reach out via email. I'm sure from state to state, I got you. jthomas2350@gmail.com. The Don, do you have any promotional shout outs that you would like to give to our team?
No, as of right now, I did like the base chat. I appreciate everybody for coming out and falling in. That meant a lot to me. It made me feel like now we know that we are really tough.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that for me?
I said, I don't have any promotional shout outs, not today. But I do thank everyone. I want to thank everyone for calling in and tuning in and listening in. It means a lot because that means we are being heard in the streets. So I appreciate y'all.
And when you stay tuned, we will be live performing from a park in June. And I would like to invite all our listeners out to come support the radio station. We also have a special guest coming next week, DJ Phantom. DJ Phantom will have some interesting music, and he's been a DJ for quite some time. He's going to bring a certain type of vibe to the Ears to the Street. So we will be welcoming our DJ Phantom to our show for an introduction and give us a spin plate on music selection that he has. So I want to really, really say thank you. Do you have anyone who is interested of an interview from Ears to the Street? Please, once again, tell them to email us at jthomas2350@gmail.com. I'm just very happy that we are able to talk to people in our community and, you know, get them to understand what we are going through and what you're facing as a 19-year-old.
Yes, because
I want to turn the station over to our last song for a positive information. This song actually reminds me a lot of my son, and it's he's my sunflower, right? And this song has a positive information to it. And I want to share it with the world. So thank you for hitting us up, and until next week. She was on bed, you were the legend.
All right, that concludes our show for today. Tune in next week. Thank you.
Life, I wonder, will it take me under?
Imagine smoking weed in the street without cops harassing. Imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue Bahama waters. No welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters. Days are shorter, nights are colder. Feeling like life is over. These snakes strike like a cobra. The world's hot, my son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a plate. Knowledge, if coke was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing. Fashion, designer clothes. Lacing your click up with diamond rolls. Your people's holding dough, no parole, no rubbers. Going raw, imagine law with no undercovers. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time, watch the blimp read, the world is mine.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my sons. I love them, baby. Black diamonds and pearls.
Could it be, if you could be mine, we both shine.
If I rule the world,
still living for today. In these last days of time, where to be? Paradise life relaxing. Black, Latino, and Anglo-Saxon. Armani exchange the range. Cash, lost tribe of Shabazz. Free at last. Brand new whips to crash. Then we laugh in the iller path. The villa houses for the crew. How we do? Trees for breakfast. Dime sexes have been stretches. So many years of depression make me vision the better living. Type of place to raise kids in. Opening eyes to the lies. History's told foul. But I'm as wise as the old owl. Plus the gold child. Seeing things like I was controlling. Click rolling. Tricking six digits on kicks and still holding. Trips to Paris, I civilized every savage. Give me one shot, I turn trite life to lavish. Political prisoner set free, stress free. No work release, purple M3s and jet skis. Feel the wind breeze in West Indies. I think Coretta Scott King, mayor of the cities, and reverse things to Willies. It sound foul, but every girl I meet to go downtown. I'd open every cell in Attica, send them to Africa.
If I rule the world,
imagine that. Story, how the thugs live in worry. Ducked down in car seats, heat's mandatory. Running from Jake, getting chased, hunger for papes. These are the breaks, many mistakes. Go down out of state. Wait, I had to let it marinate. We carry weight, trying to get laced. Flip the A stack to safe. Millionaire plan to keep the gap with the cock camera. Making moves in Atlanta, back and forth scrambler. Cause you can have all the chips. Be poor or rich, still nobody want a nigga have a shit. If I rule the world and everything in it, sky's the limit. I push the Q45 infinite. It wouldn't be no such thing as jealousies or be felony. Strictly living longevity to the destiny I thought I'd never see, but reality struck. Better find out before your time's out. What the fuck?
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my sons. I love them, baby. Black diamonds and pearls.
Could it be, if you could be mine, we both shine.
If I rule the world,
still living for today. In these last days and times,
if I rule the world,
imagine
if
that.
I free all my sons,
and if I'm love, baby.
Black diamonds and pearls.
Could it be if you could be mine? We both shine.
If I rule the world,
still living for today. In these last days and times,
if I.